here with us today. We want to share with you the Word of God. We would like to turn to, if you will, with us, turn to Matthew 4, verse 18. Talk a little bit today about fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 18. If you have it, you can read it for us, please. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother. They were in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and they immediately left the ships and their father, and they followed him. All right, that's good enough. It says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren. There's a few points I'd like to bring out in this lesson today. First of all, he saw two brethren. These men were fishermen, and they were fishing as a unit. And it wasn't that one was over here by himself and the other one was someplace else. And these men were in active duty. And I'd like to say, as the Lord brought this thought to my mind and as I was meditating on it, that the Lord really has a desire for every one of us to be fishers of men. He calls every one of us, and all of us make a choice whether or not we accept the call that the Lord gives to us. The Lord, it may not be that in our day and time, obviously in this particular period, pray for us, in this particular period, Jesus came directly and made a direct appeal to these men. And what did they do? They made the choice to follow him immediately. They didn't think about it. They didn't think about all that they were giving up in order to follow the Lord. They knew maybe something deep down in their heart. They had a clear understanding that there is this pull in me to follow this man. I want to follow Christ. And so I want to say to all of us today that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to every one of us, or will come to every one of us, and make a personal appeal. He'll make a personal appeal for you to drop all that you're doing and follow him. And the purpose of us following the Lord is not just to sit and do nothing, but the purpose of us following the Lord is to live a life in such a way that other people would want to follow him as well. So follow me as I follow Christ. I don't want people to follow us. It's not that we have a desire to have a following. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ has a desire to pull men out of the quagmires of sin, out of the quicksand, and out of all the debauchery that they're in, and set their feet up on a rock and establish their going. That's the Lord's desire for mankind. Let me tell you, as we said earlier, we see so many people, and I believe every person in here knows someone that has messed up their life based on the choices that they have made. We can look at their lives and we can see that it's all in disarray simply because of the choices. And part of those choices is that the Lord will come by and he'll knock on the heart's door of every one of us, and then up to us as to what we do with that. Cord is in my jacket. Okay, is that better? Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, so the Lord comes to all of us. And he makes an appeal to you. He's done it to all of us here, no doubt. And I know that I can't say that with certainty, but I can say this, that the Scripture says very plainly that the grace of God appeared to all men. And what it does is it teaches all men that to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live righteous, soberly, and godly in this present world. Not in the world to come, in this present world. And so what we have to understand is that the Lord calls you, he calls me, he calls every one of us, and what his desire is, if all of us make the right decision, that I'm going to live for the Lord from this day forward. Do you know, if every man, woman, boy, and girl made that decision today, this world would be a different place. It would immediately change. But here is Jesus. He says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So these men were actively working, actively doing something that God required, that was their livelihood. And I want to take a special note. These men were casting their net. So that means that they were actually fishing. They were casting their net. And then the next men that he saw, it goes down and it says, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So the first one was casting their nets, and the next one was mending their nets. And I think that these are two points that are very, that takes for us, let's look at those for a moment. All of us, when the Lord calls us, all of us are doing something. And the thing that we're doing, generally speaking, let's just say I'm talking to the adults here, it's our livelihood. We are, whatever you are, there are teachers, there are firemen, there are various people, office workers, different people that are doing different things. And when you were called by the Lord, you weren't out there doing nothing. You were actually doing something. You were casting your net. So in this particular sense, I believe the Lord intends for all of us to continue to do what we're doing if what we're doing is nothing wrong with it. If you're doing something that's wrong, the Lord wants you to stop it. So I'm talking about your livelihood, what it takes for you to bring in a living for your family. So these men were bringing in a living for their family. They were casting their nets. And one of the things that I want us to understand is the Lord calls you, he calls me, he calls all of us to be fishers of men. And where do we fish? The place that you work, somebody is watching what you're doing. You are, in essence, fishing on your workplace. You are, in essence, being an example to the people that are around you. Do you know, no matter what you are, have you ever had somebody, I've had people to say, and you're supposed to be a preacher. And why would they say that? Because maybe they saw somebody doing something that they felt was inconsistent with what this title that they held. They're supposed to be saved. Have you ever heard somebody say that? You're supposed to be saved and you're doing that kind of thing. Do you realize that what you are doing is affecting the choices that you're making as a saint of God, as a person, whether you're saved or not, whether you have begun to follow the Lord or not, the decisions and the choices that you're making is affecting somebody else, is affecting somebody else in either a positive or a negative way. All right? So this is, they were in active duty. And these that were mending their nets, do you know that there are some times that the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, we just need some downtime. We need some time to repair, don't we? We need a time of revival. There comes a time in our experience sometimes that we just need, Lord, I need you to give me something special. Have you ever had that? Have you ever prayed that way? Lord, I need something special. I feel like I'm torn apart. I feel like that my net's all broken, and whatever I try to do, it just doesn't seem to come together like I need to. So I need some downtime to be able to repair and rejuvenate and restore where I've come from. So you know the Lord gives us those times. Sister Ava, you're in the summer. It's summer. She's a teacher, right? These are those times of repairing, right? And in the same time, some of us go on vacation. Lord, I need some time just for myself. I need some time just to wait away from everything. I need some time to mend and make certain what I'm doing is not allowing the fish to get away. But also, I want to say this in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, we need to look at the things that we're doing because the Lord says, I will make you fishers of men. It's not something that was innate. It's not something that's just automatic, that I know how to fish. Any of you fishermen here? I'm not a very good fisherman. I've been fishing on several occasions, but I'm not a very good fisherman. Do you realize that you have to know how to fish? The Lord has to teach you, or somebody has to teach you how to fish just in the natural sense. You don't just throw a line out there, a hook out there, and just start reeling it in, and that's all you do. There are certain techniques to it. It's called a sport. Bass fishing, it's a sport, deep sea fishing. The type of fishing that you do, there are techniques to it. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, the type of fishing that we do as we reach out to mankind, as we endeavor by the grace of God to show forth the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our lives, as we reach out to them, there are techniques that the Holy Ghost gives us, not man. We can do a lot of marketing. We can send out a lot of surveys and all this kind of thing and actually mold our message to meet what the crowd wants. But that's not fishing like the Lord is talking about. It's fishing, but it's not fishing like the Lord is talking about. All right, let's go to a few places here. Matthew 16, verse 24. Let's read that. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All right, that's good enough. I want to say this. What's more important than your soul? What's more important? $1 million? $1 billion? A life of ease? A woman? A man? The things that you want in life? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Do you know people are giving things in exchange for their souls all the time? And do you know that's the most foolish thing that a man can do is not live for the Lord? That's the most foolish thing. There's nothing more foolish than that. And the fact of the matter is, none of us know when the Lord's going to take us. And we know that we don't know. And we know that there are people that all of us can say that died suddenly. So it says here, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? But it's talking also about following the Lord. It says, if any man will come after me. Now we're talking about, he told Peter and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And so one was casting their net, one was in active duty, and one was in a state where they were not actually working toward that, but it was part of the job anyway. But here, he's saying here, and this is what I want us to get a hold of, he's saying here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. So part of it is that you have to deny the things that you... Now, why would the Lord require or request that we deny himself? That I must deny myself, that you must deny yourself, take up your cross. And what is a cross? A cross is something where... Have you ever noted that, thought about what a cross is? A cross is when somebody hurts you and you let them hurt you. You willfully allow them to hurt you. This is what happened to Jesus. They laid him on a cross. They beat him on his back. They nailed nails through his hands and through his feet, and he hurt. It was painful. And in the same way, do you realize that he says, if any man would follow me, he must go through what I go through. He must deny himself, and Jesus had the ability to do something about people hurting him. And so what I believe the Lord wants us to understand is that there are some times that you and I need to mend our nets, because there are some things that we just will not allow a person to do. I'm not going to let you do that to me. But the Lord says, if you're going to come after him, if you're going to follow him, if I'm going to make you fishers of men, if you're going to hold on to those that I have made you responsible for, then you're going to have to take some things. You're going to have to deny yourself of some of your comforts. And let me tell you, husbands, in order to hold on to your wives, do you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to deny yourself. Wives, in order to hold on to your husbands, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to deny yourself. Well, I'm not going to take that from him. I'm not going to take that from her. Maybe you shouldn't, but maybe what I want you to do, I want you to pray and I want you to ask, Lord, is this a time that something has slipped through, that the grace of God has slipped through the net, so to speak, and I'm not able to hold on like I need to? I need more of the grace and more of the love of God. So what that means is that it's going to take something from me to sit down and deal with myself. The hardest person for me to get to do anything is me. And if you can conquer yourself, then it don't matter if you conquer anybody else. You must deny yourself. Lord, help us. Now, this is the gospel message. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. And let me tell you, one of the things that is missing today in our generation is people just don't seem to be willing or able to humble themselves in situations. I'm just not going to do it. And let me tell you, what happens in those kinds of places is that when you can actually be winning somebody, you're losing them because there's a big hole in your experience. And we see it. We see the grace of God leaking out. We see everything that God desires to do in your life and to change you and make you what he wants you to be. And you're just not willing. I'm not willing to do that. All of us come to places in our experience that we don't want to do something that God requires us to do. Do you know that? Every one of us. It is nothing new. There is nothing new under the sun. Just because you don't want to do it doesn't mean that the person that's sitting next to you in the pews, they didn't deny themselves and say, you know what, I don't want to do it, but I'm not going to exchange this for my soul. I'm not going to do that. The cost is too high. And I'm not going to redefine what it really means, what this scripture, I'm not going to redefine anything. What I'm learning in today's day and time is there are so many redefinitions of what true holiness is nowadays in the religious world. We just redefine it. It don't mean that, it means this. And not only do I find it out there, I'm finding it creeping right in among the saints. That's not what holiness is all about. You can't live free from sin. What that scripture really means, we redefine it. But the scripture still says, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy. Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And what was it? He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And if he didn't do it, then we shouldn't do it either. And what does he say? My grace might be sufficient for you. You might be able to get enough of it. No, the grace of God is sufficient in any kind of a situation that you're going through, anything that you're dealing with, his grace is sufficient. Lord, help us. All right. Let him deny, come after me. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Follow me, the Lord says. And so I think sometimes, you know, when you look at it in down through the ages, you know what is beautiful? Really is beautiful if you've ever seen it. And I want you to understand me when I say it. When you see a child of God suffering, now I want you to understand me when I say it. When you see somebody going through something and you know it's hard, and your heart goes out to them and you feel sorry for them, but you see them going through it the right way and you know that the power of God, the only way that they could do it is by the power of God, there is something that is attractive to mankind about that. I've seen it. I've seen people going through things. I've seen them going through difficulties, and I see them. There is a smile on their face. They're not accusing the Lord. They're not saying, Lord, why me? They're going through it the way that it needs to be gone through, and the Lord is blessing them, and you get a blessing by watching them go through it. Lord, help us. And this is part of what draws men. What the scripture says, if I be lifted up in your life, if Jesus Christ be lifted up in your life, I will draw all men unto me. It's not to you. It's not to the church. It's to Christ. It's not just to the church. You understand what I'm saying? It's to the Lord. But the way that this happens, saints of God, is when he comes by and you're doing whatever you're doing, and he says to you, Take up your cross and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Putting two scriptures together. You know what I'm talking about. Then it's our responsibility to immediately obey the Lord. Whatever it is that you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And we look at our own lives, and we look at what's at stake, and we look at the choices that we've made. And I remember when I got saved, when I really got saved, I looked at the choices that I was about to make and some of the things that I was about to go into. And the Lord began to deal with me and began to talk to me. If you go down that road that you are just bent on going down, this is what's going to happen to you. He showed it to me. He showed me people that I would be like, and it wasn't a pretty picture. And I made up in my mind at that point that I'm going to live for the Lord no matter what happens, and I don't have one regret for making that decision. I have yet to regret it. Well, some of you know, I wanted to be rich and famous. I'm far from rich and far from famous. Even farther from rich than I am from famous. The Lord told me very plainly, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. I wouldn't change anything for where I am now. I wouldn't exchange it. As long as I stay with the Lord, as long as you stay with the Lord, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this by the help and the grace of God. All right? So, I'm going to go a little further here. I'm going to go to Luke, the 10th chapter. Let's go to Proverbs 11 and 30. I want to read that. And then someone give me Luke 10 and 1. Start at the first verse. Yes. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, do you see how he put that together? Read it again. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What is a tree of life? It was what was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? And there was a choice that was that Adam and Eve could have made. They could have made a choice to eat the tree of life, or they could have made a choice to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's why we have the problems that we have today. But when I look at it, you know what I actually see? I actually see that all of us are Adam or Eve. All of us have the choice of making that decision at some point in our life. He says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. So in other words, your fruit, as you are in the place that God has placed you in, the Lord placed you in a family, the Lord placed you in the job, he placed you in the neighborhood. You may think that you arbitrarily made these decisions. We know we didn't have to make a decision on what family we were in. The Lord put you in this congregation. The Lord put you, whatever congregation you're in, God put you there, and he has a purpose for you being there. There is a reason that God put you in these. Have you asked him about it, Lord? Have you said, Lord, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Why did you allow me to go through what I've gone through? Maybe you've had some hardships in your life. Maybe there's been some difficulties, some things that you didn't understand what you had to go through. Let me tell you, the Lord has a reason for everything that he allows to happen to your life. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were dealing with somebody that was going through some very terrible, terrible areas. I don't even want to mention them over the pulpit. And they were saying that they felt like that they were supposed to be in this kind of a place. And I said, you know what? You can speak to that person more than anybody else because you've been there. You've been in those places. You've been down there in the gutter. Some of us haven't been so far down in the gutter as they have. But when you have done those things and the Lord raises you up and brings you out, you know you're a testimony. You are a testimony to those that are around you. And that's part of the fishing. So what do you have to offer them? You have to offer, look, this is what I used to do. Somebody was telling me about a brother that was in Monarch. They were preaching. He preached about all the things. Now this brother is you can't hardly get him. No, Brother Ivan. You can't hardly get any straighter than him. If you knew what his, and I won't even tell you what his history is, but I heard about it. And even not only that, but if we just sat here in this congregation and we started pointing out people and we told you their histories, mine included, it would shock you. You would be shocked of all the things that we've been through. But the Lord, we clean up pretty good, don't we? It's something about the blood of Jesus Christ that can clean up the vilest sinner. And you know what? Now what the Lord does, he takes us back to those places sometimes. And we say, you know, somebody was talking about, I want to be delivered from smoking cigarettes. There are some folks here in this congregation that you wouldn't believe even picked up a cigarette. That the Lord's delivered from the bondage of cigarette smoking. The Lord can do anything. Isn't that wonderful? And what does that become? That becomes part of our little, Ebenezer stones, but we got them when we go fishing. What's that little box? Tackle box. We've got all these things in here that we can just open up, and this is what I used to be, and this is what the Lord did for me. And now when we go fishing, we pull those things out, and we say, you know what? I know what you're going through. You wouldn't believe it, but let me tell you my life story. Now, it's not always beneficial for us to go all the way back and tell everybody our history and what we did and all that kind of thing and stand up and testify. At some point, we get beyond it. But then what the Lord does, the Lord uses our experiences in the past to help us win souls in the future. And right now, so he says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So what we can do is, listen, I have life now. I've picked off this tree. I've eaten. I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. And I have a life that the Lord is pleased with. Now I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. And he that winneth souls is wise. So, you know, we had a testimony the other day. Sister Breezy got up and testified about somebody that had gone through some of the things that she could have done it better than anybody else, couldn't she? She'd been there, done that. The Lord uses those kinds of things for us to become fishers of men, for us to help somebody else. So the difficulties that you're going through, the difficulties that I've gone through, the hurts that people have taken me through, you know, some of the things that I just don't want, I don't like to hurt. Do you? I don't like to hurt. I don't want anybody to hurt my feelings. And there's often this protection or this defense that we have when somebody hurt me the first time, that I'm just going to clam up and I'm going to scoot back to the back of the room and I'm not going to have anything to do with anybody. But the Lord says, come out. I want to heal you of that hurt. That's part of the cross. Part of the cross is you letting somebody hurt you. The Lord had to show me that. He had to show me that, yes, you could do something about it, but I don't want you to do anything about it. I want you to seek me for the grace to be able to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying that we just take abuse. You know, there's a balance in what I'm talking about. I'm not just saying that somebody just takes a bat and beat us over the head with it and we just sit there. We don't sit there unless the Lord tells us to sit there. But there are times that the Lord says, this is my doing. And if we pray and seek the Lord about it, he tells us that I'm doing this. I'm working something out of you. There's something in you that must come out for you to be a more perfect man of God or woman of God or whatever it is that I have prepared for you tomorrow. You've got to go through this today, and you've got to go through it right, because if you don't go through it right, I'm going to let it be there. I'm going to let it linger for a long time. So you know what I've learned about getting out of trials? Humble yourself as quickly as you can. Humble yourself as quickly as you can and ask the Lord, Lord, what is the lesson that you want me to get out of this? And when you get the lesson that the Lord wants you to get out of it, then you know what? You'll see it. The trial waning. Isn't that wonderful? It's true. All right? Luke 10, verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. Yeah. He appointed 70 also. He sent them two and two. Yes? To every city and place where he would come. He said unto them, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. So this is a recruiting. He's recruiting. And do you know what I believe? This message is a message of recruitment. I believe the Lord wants more laborers. I believe he wants us to live the life. Yes, we live the life. Because you know what? So many people are turned off by religious people. Just religious people. People that have the name but don't have the goods on hand. They can talk a good game when everything is going just like it needs to go, but when things turn against them and things become personal, they don't have the grace of God on hand to be able to deal with it. Saints, that can't be us. It cannot be us. Lord, help us to be able to go through these things and get the grace of God that we need to be able to go through them. So he said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why is that? Because there are so few people that will allow themselves to be qualified to do what God would have them to do. Lord, help us. All right, read. Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Yes. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among... Now, that sounds scary, doesn't it? I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So in other words, it's not going to be easy. You are a docile creature, and there are ravenous beasts of prey that are going to come. They're going to try to get you. And let me tell you what's happening today. Today, there is ravenous beasts of prey. We learned a little bit about it in our Sunday school lesson today. There are all kinds of doctrines that the enemy is presenting that are doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. And if you're not careful, you'll open yourself up to them and you'll sympathize with them. And before you know it, you'll be embracing them. They're not right, saints. Stand by what you know. Stand by what the Lord has given you. Stand by the convictions and the revelation that the Lord has given you. You stand there because you have a soul. Let the other people do whatever they're going to do. But you've got a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And the Lord wants to make certain that you make it to heaven. Amen. Don't exchange an easier railroad track, so to speak, for your soul. Don't change an easier way. Exchange it for your soul. It's not worth it. All right? Read. So he says, first of all, now this, I'm not going to go over, but I want to bring, I'm not going to go in depth on it, but I want to bring out some points here. This is what it's going to take. He says, I'm sending you out lambs in the midst of wolves. So this is going, you're going to have to overcome some fear. You're going to have to overcome some, maybe terror even in some ways. You're going to have to overcome danger. There is going to be danger in your going out and you're winning the loss for Christ. There are going to be some one of the dangers is that you cannot become what they are. Now, Paul says in one place, he says, to the Jew I became as a Jew. To those that are without law, I became as without law. Not that he actually said, I'm throwing everything down so that I can win you. You can't win some. You, if you're a drowning man, if you can't swim, don't jump in the water with him. You may can save him with a long pole or a rope or something, but don't jump in the water with him because both of you are going to drown. All right? Just plain as day, isn't it? But sometimes people don't understand that. If you've got a propensity to drink and smoke, don't go to the bar and try to talk to your friends about giving their heart to the Lord. Because when you see that, the frost on that Budweiser or whatever it is, it's going to tempt you. Lord, help us. Don't go to their parties. He said, he that winneth souls is wise. Let me tell you, I've seen some folks do it. They were always somewhere where sinners were. And I'm not against you having friends that are sinners, but that's where they spent most of their time. You know what ended up happening? It took a few years, but you know what ended up happening? They end up going back there and doing what they're doing. Lord, help us. He that wins his souls is wise enough to know when not to jump in the pool. You got me? Lord, help us. All right, read. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. All right, so here's a few points. You're going to be danger. There's going to be some. There's going to have to be courage that you're going to have. There is going to be trust. Don't carry a purse. Don't carry a scrip. Don't carry shoes. And they're going to. And he says, and salute no man on the way. So don't. While you're going there, don't let things distract you. Don't have any distractions. He said, you know, don't stop and chat and talk and get how things going. No, you have to be focused on what the Lord would have you to do. Lord, help us. Help us to do it, Lord. All right, read. Whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, he's given them instruction. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say that you automatically know how to do it. And this is how he's teaching. He's taken two by two, two and two, and they're going out and he's giving them instruction. Be concerned about danger. Be concerned. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to, all of these things that he's given. Now, this is what I want you to do. When you walk into the house, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to observe. I want you to have the discernment whether or not, what does it say? Whatsoever house you enter into, say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, you're going to have to discern that. There are going to have to be some discernment. There are some things that the Lord is teaching them in this lesson of how to go out and win. So you're going to have to discern. There are some times that people maybe don't look like you, but they're true saints of God. And you need to know whether or not there's peace in that house, whether or not there's peace with that person. And the Lord gives you that discernment. You have to have the discernment of the Holy Ghost. And then there are some that may look like a Christian, but you discern that there is something that's wrong. They may talk like a Christian, but you discern that there is something that's not completely right, and that peace comes back to you because you have discerned something. You know whether or not this is right or not. Lord, help us. One of the things that are so necessary in the church of God today, in our generation, is a spirit of discernment. We need to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. You need to be able to discern that the person that stands behind this pulpit doesn't just have, is not just a good speaker, but they have the Holy Ghost that's backing them, and there's power in their life and power in what they preach. Lord, help us. We got to have that, don't we? Not just a good public speaker. Lord, help us. And not just good singers. Folks, let me tell you something. You can get anybody to get up here and sing at the cross. And some of these folks can sing way better than we can. But you need to discern whether or not that's the Spirit of the Lord. And when you discern, you're able to discern it. It's not just us up, somebody up on display because they have a beautiful voice. And we're going to sing. You know how they do it. They get, praise be to God. They get all humble. No, good and well, they ain't humble. Knowing they showing out while they up there trying to be humble. Lord, help us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all done seen it. All glory and honor to God. We're going to try to sing. And then they get up and just try to show out. It's true. You're laughing because you know it's true, isn't it? Lord, help us. All right. Let's go a little further here. So we got to have discernment. And in the same house, remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Don't just jump from place to place. I want you to stay in one spot. That's what the Lord is saying. He said, and whatever they set before you, you eat it. You know, sometimes on the mission field, I don't call myself a missionary. Even though I've done I don't call myself an evangelist. Even though I've done the work of a missionary and I've done the work of an evangelist, and you go sometimes, you folks set stuff before you that don't look so good. And you have to eat it. And sometimes you pray, you know, one time when I went someplace, I ain't going to tell you where I went. I'm sure glad they had ketchup. Because I wore that ketchup bottle out. I needed something to cover the taste of it. Lord, help us. But you know what it was, and I wasn't going to not eat. No, I'm not. I don't want that. And we finally got it where it needed to be. But I understand this, that sometimes you're not going to have the comforts of home, the comforts that you want, and that's part of it. Lord, help us. Okay? All right? Keep going. Whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such thing as is set before you. Heal the sick. And you know what? Let me tell you something else. It may not be the taste of it. It may be what they did with it. I've been in places where I saw what your hands was doing before you grabbed that piece of meat that you're putting on my plate. I saw you didn't wash your hands. I saw you didn't do this. I saw where that came from. I saw the ants crawling over it. I saw the flies on it. Oh, y'all want to be a missionary? Y'all want to go someplace with us? This is what he's teaching us. This is a good lesson for him, teaching us these things that you're going to have to eat. And so what do? You don't say, no, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat that. I just saw where that was. No, you can't say that. You can't say that. That offends those people. They put forth all of their effort in order to be able to give you their best, and now you're, because you're such a lazy American, Lord help us. We wash our hands, and we have all of it. You can't do that everywhere you go. Y'all still love me? It's true. And he said, what's set before you, you just have to pray over it. That's why you pray before you eat, and you learn to pray. You learn to pray, Lord, have mercy on this food. Bless this food. Make it nourishing to my body. Take away any imperfections from it. And you pray a little longer prayer than what you pray at home. Lord, bless this food in the name of Jesus. Amen. You don't do that when you're out there. You ask the Lord, Lord, you see where this food has been, and we ask you that you'd purify it. So he's teaching us this, that this is what we have to do. And then he says, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. but in whatsoever city you enter. Now that's power. He says, I'm going to give you the power to be able to do it. And again, we're saying fishers of men. He's making us fishers of men. So he's teaching us how to go about to win somebody. Let's say you go over someplace and you're going as a missionary, or maybe it's not even across the waters. Maybe it's just in a poor part of the town and the Lord has laid on your heart to deal with somebody and they set something before you. We can get by with it here in America a little bit better than we can going somewhere else. You know what we have to do? We just have to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, we can't offend the people. We can't offend them. That's not winning souls, is it? Well, you was too. Now you want me to, you want to talk, sit down and talk to me for 30 minutes about Jesus and you didn't eat my food. You suppose people are going to listen to that? There is a principle here that the Lord is getting, and he said the laborers are few. You know why the laborers are few? Because very few people are willing to do all of these things. And so they disqualified themselves on some point, and the Lord can't use them. I'll do this, I'll do that, and I'll do that, but I just can't stand this. Lord, help us. But in whatsoever city ye enter and that they receive you, go not, go your way out into the streets of the city, same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Though there has to be a person that has some judgment, and they're not afraid to use it. This is what the Lord tells you. After they don't accept it, you just go and dust the... Well, you don't want to offend them. No, this is what the Lord says. This is the judgment that comes down from the Lord. So you've got to have these qualities and understand these principles in order to fully follow the Lord. All right? Read. I say unto you. Okay, that's good enough. Let's go. That's good enough. Now, I'm going to end this. I'm not finished, but I do feel like there are some things that, a few things that I want to bring out before I go on. We may have to deal with this subject a little bit more. Fishing for men. You must go where the fish are. I'm not going to do very much good to dig a little puddle, take some water in the water hose and fill it up with water and try to fish there. Ain't going to be no fish there, is it? So you know what we have to do? We have to go where the fish are. And Lord, help us to be willing and able to do that. And one of the places that is, and again, I want to say to the people, we don't jump in the water to try to save somebody if we don't know how to swim. One of the things that I see that's being used in a great way, and I feel like the Lord can use the internet to win souls in various ways, websites, blogs. These are things that we couldn't talk about 15 years ago. We didn't know what they didn't really exist to the level that they do now. But these are ways that the Lord can actually use us to be able to reach out to souls. And one thing I want to say, and one of the things that I say, I don't, my personal feelings about Facebook, I just do not like Facebook. And one reason that I don't like it is because of how it emboldens people to do and say things that they wouldn't say to you in your face. And how it becomes a... venue or a stage, you might say, for people to express their grievances on any subject. So in one sense that may be good, in another sense it may not be. Well, I'm going to leave that judgment alone. I'm not telling anybody to get off Facebook. But I am saying this, don't be influenced by what you see. That some folks that have once stood firm for the Lord, you see them drifting over into a... You be an example. You be an example. Just because they're doing it and you feel a little bit abashed for not doing it, you be an example to them. Somebody is looking at you. That's your little fish pond that the Lord would have you to fish out of. So if the Lord is using you in that way, don't put something up there that's going to make people look at you askew. Don't put pictures up there that are not what they should be. Lord, help us. You shouldn't even be taking pictures that's not what they should be. Lord, help us. You be an example. I'm particularly talking to the young people. Because I see that that has become something, and when, you know, sometimes somebody will come to me and say, look at this. And you look at it and you're shocked. You want to put your mouth over your hand over your mouth. And you say, are they still saved? Well, I think they are. Lord, help us. Don't let it once be named among you as becoming saints. Don't let the influences that are out there affect how you live your life for the Lord. You have a soul. You just have one. You know what we said, what the song said, if I had 10,000 lives in which to praise him? No, that's not what I was wanting. If I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to you. Don't mess up your life. Don't mess up your testimony. Don't mess up your testimony because this is what everybody else is doing, and so we should be able to do it too. You live the life before those folks. These folks are wanting somebody to stand true to the Lord. They're wanting somebody to stand their ground, even though they don't know it yet. Right now they're having their fun, they're doing whatever, but let me tell you, on their beds when things don't go like they're wanting to go, when they have the reverses in life, let me tell you who they come to. They come to the saints of God that have stood their ground and held it just like the Lord wanted them to hold it. And they call them for prayer even though they don't want to live like you, but they know that you can touch God. Don't be afraid or ashamed of living for the Lord. Lord, help us. Because it's part of what the Lord uses to win the men to the kingdom of God. So may the Lord help you. May the Lord help me. May he help all of us that we can live the kind of a life that will be an example to those that are around us. You know what? When the martyrs were burned at the stake and when they were stretched asunder and their testimonies in the direst of circumstances, their testimonies was, I will not yield. Recant, thank you. I will not recant. I know what I have and I will not do it. And do you know what that did? You know they're standing firm for the Lord. You know what it did? It saved those that were looking on. That was their pond to fish in. And they had taken some time to be with the Lord. And then the grace of God was there and they saw it. And they embraced it. And the other folks that were around them saw that there is a power that is much greater than the power that I have to be able to do this, Now I'm going to follow that God. You know, we had it in our Sunday school, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not careful to answer you, O king. You can say what you want to. All of y'all can bow down to this, but we're not going to bow down to that. And let me tell you, what folks are doing nowadays, they're saying that you should bow down to the things that they're bowing down to because there's nothing wrong with it. I'm worshiping, you're worshiping, what's the difference? This thing, but it represents God. It's not really God. We know that. But it represents God. But you say, no, it's not God, and I don't believe it represents God, and I'm not bowing down to it. Now, you might be thrown in the fiery furnace. Folks might not like you. They might talk about you behind your back and all this. But I want you to remember, if you're going to follow him, if you're going to be his fisherman, you're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to let those people hurt you. Lord, help me. You know, the Lord had to show that to me because I get hurt too. I get my feelings hurt. They tend not to last too long, but I get them hurt. And I have to deal with it. I have to work through some things. And I got to go to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, what is the cross? What I be preaching to you is what the Lord preaches to me. Oh, so I have to get a hold of it myself. He said, what is the cross? The cross is letting folks hurt you. That's what Jesus did. He let them hurt you. He could have called 10,000 angels and told them not to do it. Nope. To stay their hand, but he let them hurt him. Lord, help us. Now, what do? This is part of our qualifying. If we let the Lord get a hold of us like this, saints, we won't be weak spiritually. We'll be powerful in the hands of the Lord. So may the Lord help us. Pray for me.